Thank you, Pastor Craig. And welcome. Praise God. What a wonderful place to be in the day after Christmas. Some folks haven't had Christmas yet. Is that right? Somebody's got the Christmas yet? I've heard a couple of families going to do it the day after. Man, Patty's family does it the day before. This is my wife, Patty. I want to introduce her to you. Do I need to do something with this? Or you guys will fix it? Okay. Did you stand up, honey? Okay, thank you. Patty's a cheesehead. Are there any Viking fans here? I don't want to offend anyone. Okay. Praise God. All of us need Jesus. Amen. This is going to be fun today. I can tell already. The Packers are in mourning. No? Good. Thank you. Yes. Well, anyway, my daughter. Well, let me just introduce a family to you. Pastor is not here today, so if it's time for me to quit, you just raise your hand and I'll quit. Okay. So just we'll forget about the clock. There's good things, not one up here, so I can see one there. But anyway, can you hear? Okay. Okay, I'm getting some kind of echo or something, but if you can hear all right, that's okay. I hear voices in my head all the time anyway, so I'm used to that. But my wife is here, so I've got to behave. I don't know how your pastor is. I've not met him. I would like to meet him someday, and I hopefully will, but not today if he's sick. I don't want to be sick. But anyway, just glad to be here in Wilson. I thought I'd been here before. I'd called pastor before. And so I just kind of want to give you a background of where we came from and what's going on in our lives, what we did in our last missionary journey, if you want to call it that, and then what we hope to do with when we go back to Lithuania, and kind of give you a report of that. First, I want to start out with just kind of introducing myself, and then I've got a PowerPoint we're going to show, and then I have an offering thing we're going to show. And so anyway, first of all, I was born at a very early age and in the hospital because I wanted to be near my mother. I was there, but I don't remember a thing about it. But anyway, I was born in Iowa. I was raised in Oklahoma. And so if I say y'all, that means you guys, okay? And if I say something like fixin', that doesn't mean I'm going to repair something. That means I'm about to do something. So we're fixing to go somewhere. We're about... Anyway, so I think we've been enculturized in our society enough by satellite TV and all these kind of things that when people say y'all, you understand that. The Olympics were in Atlanta. Got a little education on different ways to say y'all, all y'alls and all that stuff. But anyway, I was raised in Oklahoma. I got saved when I was 18. My parents were not Christians. My grandparents were not Christians. My great-grandmother and grandfather were Christians. My great-grandfather was an ordained Assembly of God minister. I didn't find out that until after I became a Christian, after I gave my heart to the Lord. And I was... I drank and went to the bars and did a little marijuana. And unlike one of our presidents who said he didn't inhale, I inhaled. And I thought people were playing with their minds because it didn't affect me the first few times I tried it. But I got saved because of a man died for $5. We were at a bar and everybody cleared out Saturday night. And they were clearing out my uncle, who's in a wheelchair. He was the leader of the band that was there, and they were doing that. I was helping them. God began to deal with me. And I didn't know about those kind of words. Like we have churchology, you know, or church ease, like we speak in church. God began to deal with me. He began to convict me, and the Holy Spirit was moving upon me. I didn't know those kind of things. I just, one of those voices in my heart. But I began to see that alcohol would kill people. I had some friends that lost their lives because of it. And in high school, and I was like, boy, I sure don't want to end up like that. And so I was riding with a friend that he was drunk and he was driving and it was scary. And so I tried to get out of the car and all these kind of things. But that Saturday night in 1978, I believe it was, in 1978, I graduated from high school. And then we were out to this bar and I was drinking, and I wasn't drinking that night, I'm sorry to say. I mean, I'm glad to say I wasn't drinking that night. But I went out of the dance hall, and in Oklahoma, they can't serve drinks where they play music, and you can't serve drinks where you eat, and it's not like up here. But anyway, I went out into the pool hall where they did serve drinks and you could play pool, because everybody was leaving about Saturday night at 11 o'clock, and that was very unusual. And so I went into the other part to see what was going on, and there was nobody in there. And so I stepped on out the front door, and I still had the door in my hand, and I saw the owner, and I knew him because my uncle had played there many times, him and his band. And I said, "Hey, what's going on?" And he said, "I'll go back inside. Everything will be okay." And I still had the door in my hand. He said, "Go back inside. Everything will be okay." And I thought to myself, now I may look stupid, but I'm not. I thought, must have been something happened. Something was wrong. But if everything's going to be okay, I'll go back inside. So I turned to go back inside, and as soon as I did, I looked behind the door, caught my eye. There's a guy laying there, and he's covered with a blanket. He's dead. And again, I didn't know the voice of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know conviction. I didn't know what that meant. But all I knew was, a voice spoke in my heart and said, "Do you want to end up like that?" And I said, "Nope." Real easy, that quick. Nope. And that voice spoke to me again and said, "If you don't get your life right with God, you're going to end up just like that." I said, "Okay, it's a deal." And so I walked back in there, and remembering that, and it changed a lot of things. What had happened was, that guy that was laying there, him and his brother, were playing pool against another guy, and they won, and he got mad and pulled a knife. And of course, they were all drunk. He pulled a knife. He stabbed this guy that died right across. He cut him right across the middle. And then he went after his brother and stabbed him in the leg. And he got away. And everybody stopped the fight and going on. But anyway, that guy died. And I mentioned how much it was worth. There was $5 on that pool game. And I found out later that it was why he died, but at already kind of made a commitment that I was going to quit drinking before I even got there. Then the Holy Spirit speaking to me again, you know, I'm going to get my life right with God. And so I did. My uncle got saved. Most of the people in the band, there were a lot of people in that bar that night or dance hall that were backslidden or not saved. And God dealt with many of those people. That place ended up shutting down. Hallelujah. And a lot of people got saved, and there were a lot of young people in our church. That's how I met my wife. She was traveling with a singing group, and they had come to our church and done their evangelistic thing. Patty played the piano, as you can see today. She does that very well. I don't have any talent at all. I can hardly use a remote control. And now that I'm 44, I can hardly see it. You know, I don't. But Patty had come through, and then she came, and some of the girls, one of the girls that was in my uncle's band, wanted to start a Christian band, and Patty came, and they met and started traveling out of Oklahoma, and that's how we met. Then Patty's brother offered me a job in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. And so I came to Chippewa Falls, and then Patty asked me to marry. Well, she told me I needed to ask her to marry me, and that's a whole funny story, too, but I don't have enough time for that. But anyway, God is so good. So that's kind of where we came from. God called me into the ministry after I got saved. I was working in Oklahoma during the time Patty was there. And God just called me into the ministry. And I said, I had no idea what that was. I knew our pastor, Brother Morrison. He was a great preacher, probably the best preacher. I don't know if he could preach good or not, but he was the best preacher that I ever had. I knew, you know. Because he was the one that I came to know the Lord under and grew under and found out that tithing is not an option. Pastor's not here, and so he didn't tell me not to say that. But anyway, tithing wasn't an option. It's elementary, dear Watson. It's just elementary Christianity. And so I just learned. Then I moved up here, And God laid it on our hearts to go to Bible college. And so we went to where every good Christian ought to go to Bible college. Southeastern in Florida. My wife went to North Central, so we can, you know, there's a little redemption there for me. No, we really prayed about it. We were only 90 miles from Minneapolis and North Central, and the Lord just kept laying it on our heart about Southeastern, which was 1,400 and some miles away. And okay, Lord. And so we wanted to do what God wants us to do and went down there. Went 1 year, and then God spoke to us, and we were at a mission service. It was really a youth service in a large church in Lakeland, Florida. And large church. I don't think, seen a missionary before. If I had, I don't remember. But there was a missionary speaking, and he was talking, and all of a sudden that I had learned the voice of the Holy Spirit at that time, and I had been saved probably 4 or 5 years. But anyway, God began to deal with me about missions. And I'm crying, and this guy's preaching, and I didn't know what was going on. I was like, Lord, what is this? And the Lord, as I said that, then that missionary, he said, and we need people to, short-term missionaries, just to give a month or two or maybe a year of their time to come and to overseas and help us in missions. And the Lord just spoke to me, that's what I'm talking about. I said, well, okay, where are we going to go? And just as I said that, the missionary said, we need people in Brussels, Belgium. I said, oh, okay. And so we just started praying, and I talked to the youth pastor at that time, was a friend of mine who was in college with me, and so on and so forth. And he helped us get all the paperwork together, and we went to short-term missionaries to Brussels, Belgium, to work with what was called ICI then. Now it's called Global University, with Berean and ICI have merged, and so we can. It's an education program for the Assemblies of God. And so we worked in Brussels, Belgium. Our son Joshua, we have like Pastor, his son is Josh. We have a son named Josh. He's 20, and he was born in Brussels, so he's a Brussels sprout. And is this water good? Is it fresh today? And okay. Being a missionary, you ask things like that. One of my first experiences in Lithuania was, probably from the water, I had a little problem in the bathroom. Things were working too good. And I had to go explain that to the pharmacist, who know no English. I couldn't get I had no words for, I didn't, so I had to do sign language. And thankfully the lady was gracious and didn't laugh like our brother here. And I'll move over here. And she says, ah. Oh. Then she brought out three different things. And I'm like, wow, which one of these do I get? So anyway, and then I talked to the other missionary later. I was trying to kind of embarrass, but I guess after being a missionary now, our first term in Lithuania, missionaries, that's what we talk about a lot. How to get rid of things when they're working too good or if they're not working at all. Another remedies. And anyway, I don't know how I would explain that one by sign language if it wasn't working. But anyway. So I get sidetracked real easy. That's good water, by the way. Anyway, so God called us to the mission field. We went to Belgium. John was born there. While we were there, we extended our time there. They asked us to be full-time career missionaries. I felt God wanted me to finish Bible school, so we said no to that. But we did extend our time there. And one of the things that God really spoke to my heart there was that how large the harvest field was and how few the laborers are. At ICI, we could have used about 60 people staff. Usually we ran about 35 to 40. People in the staff there, and this is a worldwide ministry trying to get a curriculum and evangelism material to the world. And I ran a printing press, Patty did typesetting, and so that's what we did. We also worked in a military base for the NATO forces. You know, I've heard of NATO. The forces, they have their strategic headquarters, the military part of it is in Mons, Belgium, and we had an Assemblies of God service there. And we also had an English-speaking church that we were a part of. I didn't pastor that, but we were just a part of. I taught Sunday school. Patty led. We led worship. And so we would do Sunday morning, then we'd go down to Mons on Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, and then we'd make it back. And then when Patty was pregnant, we just would stay down in Mons for Sunday evening and then come back. But at any rate, there were so many things going on that I could have, if cloning were possible, and I don't believe it's morally or ethically correct, and hopefully that doesn't step on any toes, but you know, I'm leaving today, so it won't. But anyway, but really, there were so many things that could have been done that I could have done, and I just didn't have enough time to do them all. And people asking us to minister, people asking us to do this, that, and the other, and just not, it wasn't having to force any doors open. Things were just available ministry. And again, it was just God confirming in my heart that how big the harvest was and how few the laborers were. And so now we fast forward, we came back, Chippewa Falls, we lived on the farm. Patty's family had a dairy farm, and the family still owns that farm. They sold the cows in 2000, I think. And now we don't milk anything. But and then we went back to Bible school. I finished and I changed my major from pastoral ministry to missions. I got a degree in missions. And then I moved back to Wisconsin. How many of you know where Dallas, Wisconsin is? Well, it's a lot like Wilson. And I went on as associate pastor in Wilson, Wisconsin. I mean, in Dallas, Wisconsin, sorry. And I was thinking I was a lot like you. And we already had 3 kids, though. But God moved us up to Upper Michigan. Now, I want you to remember, I was raised in Oklahoma. Okay? We moved to Upper Michigan by Lake Superior. I thought, ooh, on the lake, cool. No, cold. See, I made a bad mistake when I was young. When I first moved up here to Wisconsin, I thought, Lord, I remember telling the Lord this, I will never live north of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, or Chippewa Falls. I mean, there's nothing up there. And it just gets colder and colder and colder. And so it's 250 miles from Chippewa Falls to Ontonagon on Lake Superior. When I was first there, the board meeting, the board said, could we, you know, we should have a picnic this summer. Could we have a picnic this summer, Pastor? And I said, well, yeah, why don't we have 3 or 4 more? And they looked at me. Of course, they were pulling a trick on me, and I didn't know it. The gullible light was shining in my forehead, you know. It was blinking off and on, and they took advantage of it. They said, no. I said, well, you don't understand, Pastor. Summer is on a weekend this year, and we wanted to have a picnic. And I thought, oh, man, what have I gotten myself into? The first winter, the forecast came on, and it was 2 to 3. And I thought they had two little notches for inches. You know how they mark inches? But it was only 1. I thought, oh, look at there. They messed up. No, they didn't mess up. It's 2 to 3 feet. And we got it. I would blow snow Sunday morning before church, and then I would blow, Saturday night, and then Sunday morning to come there and fill back in and blow it out again, you know, and just praise God. So it was the only difference, the only thing that Oklahoma has in common with Ontonagon is they start with an O. That's it. I mean, we hardly ever get snow in Oklahoma, but God ministered in us, and we were up there for 7 years. I pastored there. While we were there, I told the Lord I was ready to be a missionary now, and He knew better. And I told the people when I first went there that when I grow up, I'm going to be a missionary. And so that was always on their minds, and I felt like I had grown up enough, about 5.5 years in our time there, and then about in our 6th year there, God did speak to us and call us into the mission field. I was driving down the road. I was going to Iowa. Never thought about it that way. But anyway, I was going to Iowa to a pastor's conference. The Lord spoke to me in the car and said, what I'm doing in this revival that's going on in America, with Brownsville stuff that was going on, we heard about things and wondering. And the Lord just spoke to my heart. He said, I'm raising up an army or raising up supporters for missions. I didn't understand quite what he meant, So I began to think about our church. We were about a size just about like this, where I pastored, and we supported about 15 missionaries. And I thought the next step we needed to do was to take our missionaries, or our people, a group from our church, on a missions trip to go outside of our county. Some of the people in the church had hardly ever been outside the county. But anyway, and I felt like God wanted us to do that. And while I'm thinking all that, the Lord just gets my attention. Just like my mom used to have to do. You know, you take your face and look. Do you listen to me, boy? She didn't have to do that to me as my brother. But anyway. And it was like the Holy Spirit did that. Okay. And the Holy Spirit is saying, now I'm raising up, He said it again, I'm raising up this revival in America for supporters of missions. I said, okay, what do you mean? And it had been 13 years since we had left Belgium. And all of a sudden, I realized what He was saying. And I said, okay, Lord, do you mean that You're calling us to be Assemblies of God, foreign, overseas missionaries? And I could see a face as the Lord was talking to me in my mind's eye and in my spirit. I could see this face. And as soon as I said that, I asked that question, that face lit up with a smile and said, yes, that's what I'm talking about. I said, okay, but you've got to tell Patty. I really did. I said, Lord, now I want You to tell Patty, because I want her to know that You're calling her too. That she's not just along for the ride, but that You're calling her. And so God called Patty. And do you want to come? Do you want to share that? Or should I condense it? Okay, I'm already getting too long. Okay. 24 years we've been married. Well, in March it'll be 24 years. And so I've learned the nonverbal sign language. And anyway, condense it. So God did call Patty. We were in a service. A missionary from Lithuania was at our church. And God spoke to my wife. It was subtle. It wasn't as lightning or anything like that. It was just subtle. And Patty said, if that's for me, I say yes. And it was confirmed over the next week. And so we called Springfield, Missouri the following Monday. And here we are. We've spent one term there. We'll go ahead and look at this PowerPoint and show you our family, a picture of our family. The door has opened in the former Soviet Union, and we're so very thankful for that. It is a new day. It's a new world. And if I get to preach today, I'm going to talk about the new things that God is doing. The door is open. We'll go to the next slide. Oh, I can see it back there. Hallelujah. Oh, there's an exit on my shirt. Anyway, this is my family. Me, I've lost about 30 pounds since that picture. Thank the Lord. I got back to the States and I ate everything I could that they don't have in Lithuania. Sugar. They don't do a lot with sugar in Lithuania. Joshua is 20, born in Belgium. Krista is 18. She was born in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. And Kara, she's in the middle. She's 16 and she was born in Florida while we were in Bible school. And of course, Patty, myself. Okay, we'll go to the next slide. And talk about 50 years of communism. We'll bring down those bullets. There's three of those. Taken over in 1940, Hitler came through there. He killed 200,000 people in Lithuania, Jewish people. He then gave it over to the Soviet Union. And they celebrate today, or they have a holiday. Most of the holidays in America are celebrations. In Lithuania, most of the holidays are days of mourning. They celebrate Independence Day. Excuse me. They have two of those independent days. But anyway, most of their holidays are not. And this holiday they celebrate is the day that Hitler signed a pact with Stalin. Stalin was the leader of the Soviet Union at the time. And he just made a deal with Hitler. And Hitler gave them Lithuania. Estonia is just south of Finland. Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania are called the Baltic states. And these three countries were given over to Stalin at that time. Stalin killed more people than Hitler did. And I don't know. So anyway, they came in with their military and they forced the people of Lithuania to be Soviet, to be Russian. They spoke Russian. They made them speak Russian. Now the government, everything changed over to Russian. And therefore they were made second-class citizens. In other words, all the jobs, to get a job you had to speak Russian. The people of Lithuania didn't know Russian. We have our own language. It's called Lithuanian. And so that's what happened to these folks. And it happened just with the signing of a pen. Their lives were changed. And it went on for 50 years. We'll go to the next slide. Okay. The worst thing was they were told there is no God under communism. That was the worst thing. They took churches and they turned them into all kinds of buildings and made them into stables. They made them into all kinds of things. But in 1991, Lithuania got their independence. They were the first state to break away from the former Soviet Union. And it started a ripple effect. And we thank God for that, because now there are many missionaries and many churches and many people that know Christ since that time, because the door has been opened. And I believe God opened the door. President Reagan, I think, was a great president. And there was a lot of great things that he did to help the communism to fall. But God is the one that did it. And he said, I want my people to hear the gospel. And so we've been able to go in and preach the gospel. We have an invitation by the National Church. There were about 3 Pentecostal churches left in a country that's half the size of Wisconsin. 3.5 million people today. And there were 3 Pentecostal churches there in 1989. Again, a stirring happened before they got their independence. They started rebelling against the communist government. They didn't get it officially till 1991, but it began in 1989 with what was going on in East Germany and so on and so forth. And there were 3 Pentecostal churches that survived communism. There were many churches before communism, but now there were only 3. We have now an invitation by the National Church. So we went there. The Assemblies of God went in 1995. We established a Bible school. We started working with churches, helping to plant churches. And so that's where we're at today. We have about 20 churches from that group, 25 today. And I'll give you a report about that a little bit later. We'll go to the next slide. And I'll skip some of these things so I can get it going. And we'll go with mountain time, so I got a whole another hour. Lithuanian time is 8 hours ahead, so I'm way off. But anyway, again, there you can see where it's at. If you can see where Germany is, and then Poland is the big one right there. We're north of Poland. And then in the top left-hand part of that is the Baltic Sea. And that borders all of those countries there, and that's where Lithuania is. Vilnius is in the southeast corner. And so we live in Vilnius, the capital city. Lietuva is how we say it in our language. That's how we say the name of our country, Lietuva. And so I want to get you to say that with me, okay? So I'll say it in 2 different syllables, Lietuva. Okay, and we'll put it together, Lietuva. All right, so you can speak Lietuviske. And that's how we say our language, Lietuviske. We'll go to the next one. The land is a lot like Wisconsin, two-thirds of it is flat and farming, the eastern third is lakes and trees, and that's where our Bible camp is. These are our ministries. There are 2 more. Yeah, there you go. We started the Bible school. I was the academic dean, and then I was the director of the Bible school, and we want to, and our brother in the Sunday school class, he had a lot of scripture. He'll probably want to look up those scriptures. But anyway, this is some of the things that we want to do, is to empower Lithuanians who know the language, who know the culture, to train and teach them to reach their people with the gospel. And that is our philosophy of missions and ministry in Lithuania and in the Assemblies of God, you pretty much in the former Soviet Union. So that's what we're doing there with Bible schools. Also has come up in Lithuania is our Bible camps. This year, some of the cities, we have 60,000 street kids in Lithuania that have no home. The orphanages are full. When they are 18, they have to leave the orphanages. I don't want to say they're kicked out, but they have to leave. They might as well be kicked out, but they have to leave. I did a youth conference, and I was preaching to and doing a youth conference for four youth pastors in Lithuania. And I wanted to do some study and do my homework. And I found out from the government that 50% of the kids that get out, that have to leave these orphanages, 50% of those kids that leave the orphanages when they're 18 commit suicide. And man, that broke my heart. I said, okay, I'm going to quit everything else and I'm going to do that. And the Lord just said, no, you empower these people and challenge these folks. They will reach their kids. But they need to know. They need to know these things. And so I shared that with those folks with a broken heart. I mean, it was terrible to have to share that. But I shared that with them and I saw the light come on in some of their faces. Some of them didn't know, I have an idea even why they were there at a youth conference. And then God began to deal with them and show them and give them some direction, clear direction, who that they were going to reach and reach out to. And so we thank God for that. Our Bible camps this year, two cities around our Bible camp sent some of these street kids to our Bible camp. They paid their way. The city did, not the churches. The city did. Matter of fact, those two towns, we don't have a Pentecostal church in. One of them we don't. The other one we may have. But at any rate, they sent those kids, street kids, to our camp, and they heard the gospel. And so I thank God for what God is doing in our Bible camps. We're building. We don't have any buildings. We have a shell of a building for the dining hall and kitchen area. It's about the size of the church here, a little bigger, but we don't have a roof on it or doors and windows. We had teams that were going to come and they were going to do that for us and they couldn't come for some reason. And so this next summer we're hoping to in 2005 to get that finished and get some dorms up and those kind of things. For the next 4 years our goal is to build, actually literally build that camp. And so we thank God for that. Teen Challenge started in May of 2000. I was there. We started, we introduced it. Lady came forward, said I've got three girls in an apartment and she had gotten saved in prison. And she started her ministry, and so we said, okay, we want to work with you, and you work with us. And so that's how it started. And so she started with those three girls, and I forget that I got to move on. Okay, so we want you to remember, first of all, the Bible school, we had seven students in 2000. The Teen Challenge we started, we had three girls in 2000, okay? We pass out the Book of Hope. We're trying to get that going. We were. And it looked like the door had shut. Okay? And so we have had 100,000 copies of... Well, we distributed a lot of those, but we were trying to get it to where we go the whole country. Okay, so that's where we were in 2000. Now we'll go to the next slide. This is our praise report after our first term there, what God has been doing. We have more laborers in the harvest. We were the only missionaries there for about a year and a half. But now we're going to have three missionary families and two national families and two single girls that are going to be working in these various ministries. And you'll see in just a second about why we need so many more people, because these ministries have just grown and grown and grown and grown. We have more churches. I said we had about 20, 25 that we were working with. Now we're working with 75 churches that are Pentecostal like we are. And that have the same kind of worship like we had, except it's in Lithuanian. I was enjoying so much. It's in English this morning. It was wonderful. And I don't get used to that yet. We've been home. We've been back in the States over a year now, and it's still wonderful to sing praises to the Lord in English. I like to do it. Now we can now in Lithuanian and all that kind of stuff. But 75 churches now that worship like we do. And believe what we believe. The students grew from 7 to now we have right now enrolled in our college right now 71 students. We have a resident program which there are about 8 students in, and we have an extension program, 3 schools that have the rest of those. And so that'd be, what is that? 63 students. So we have 63 students that are studying in in these extension schools. And so God has multiplied the ministry over and over. Many souls in the camp, many souls have come to the Lord. Just hundreds of kids have come to the Lord through our Bible camp. The Teen Challenge is probably even greatest growth we've seen. We started with those three girls. We had no buildings. They had that apartment, but nothing really to speak of. Little by little we've grown. Now we have room for 150. 75 girls, 75 men. We've got three wonderful facilities, five really facilities that we have. We have a halfway house for the women, an induction center for the women, and a year resident place for the women. We have a farm for the men, and which is an induction center and a year-long program. There's a big farm that they're using, and they're we just bought that this last summer. And so we've got about 113 acres. How much would 113 acres of tillable land cost here in north central Wisconsin? With five usable buildings, room for about 40 men for our teen challenge, and a barn. All of that we got for $60,000. All of that we got for $60,000. I think there are lots in the cities that are going for $60,000. But so God has blessed us. We have had, since we paid that off, the exchange rate has gone bad. So that's part of the reason why we're here longer than we would normally be, is because of the financial burden that is. We've lost about 40% of the value of our money there, the buying power. Their economy is improving. And that's good for them. That's good for the churches. It's good for the people in the churches that get jobs. But it's not good for us to come over there. So the expenses have gone up. And so that's why we are back here. We God opened the door to the Book of Hope. We wanted government approval for the Book of Hope. And so because we would go into different towns and different regions, when we do it in the schools, and sometimes we were welcome with open arms, other times we were, who are you and what are you doing here? And because of communism, they don't trust anybody, especially foreigners. And they don't get much foreigner than me. But anyway, especially foreigners. But they do like Americans. I'm glad to say that. They do like Americans, and they are very pro-American. And there's a ton of stuff I can tell you about that. But anyway, they are very pro-American. But some places we would go, the Catholic priest would tell them, "Oh, they're not of God, and so don't listen to them." And sometimes that would work out. Most of the times that would work out good, because some people would come to see these weirdos, those Pentecostals. Let's go see what they do, and we would just preach the word of God, preach the gospel, and the word of God is not going to return to him void. And when we preach the gospel, people get saved. And so that was a great thing that happened. But we wanted a government approval to go in so we could go into the schools, give them this approval. And they said, okay, we see that you're approved, so you can do your thing here. Some schools we could, some we couldn't. We went to the government and they said, no, we're not going to give you that. You need to go through the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is the state church now. During communism, they were persecuted just like any other church. And now today, they're the state church. The government said you got to go through them. So we started making some meetings and met with this Catholic bishop that is over the education. The Book of Hope. How many of you know what the Book of Hope is? Oh, good. Praise God. The rest of you, I'll explain briefly. The Book of Hope is a condensed version of the Gospels. We have it for children and for high school kids. Okay? And we pass that out in school and give testimonies of what God has done in our lives, and then invite them sometimes to an evening service or a rally or something, depending on what we can do at the school. Anyway, we want to do that. The government. So we met with this bishop, and we're talking. And we had so many people there that he only wanted to meet with two Lithuanians and a representative from the United States from the Book of Hope. And so those three went in there, and I stayed outside, and we just prayed. And the leader of the Pentecostal churches was talking and gave his name. Now, in Lithuania and a lot of Europe, they don't ask, what do you do for a living? What's the first thing we ask when we meet somebody? What do you do? Well, I'm a student. Well, what do you do? I'm an electrician. I work at Walmart. There, it's like, who are you? Where do you come from? And so as Remus, who's the leader that we work with, Pentecostal leader, he began to share with this bishop who he was. And he says, well, do you know so-and-so? And he said, yeah, that's my... I can't remember if it was his dad or his uncle. He said, well, I spent time in prison with that man in Siberia. See, they had been banished to Siberia because of their faith. This guy knew Jesus. And this priest says, you know, I know who you guys are. I'm going to give you approval to pass out the Book of Hope. He said, now I can't do it for the whole country yet. He said, because I got to talk to the people above me. But he said, I can give you Kaunas. Kaunas is the second largest city. Most of the Jewish people were killed there. And he said, I can give you this city. We got 55 schools were opened up to us because of this relationship. See how God turns bad things to good? They were banished to Siberia because of their faith. They were in prison. But while in prison, this Pentecostal and this Catholic shared communion, shared the Word of God, shared in prayer. And they built a relationship that helped us in 2002. And so then we had some more meetings with this guy and this bishop. The last meeting that we had, he said, I can't give you permission. The Catholic Church is, it's people from outside of Lithuania that are come here now in the Catholic Church, and they say, you're Protestant and we're Catholic, and we're not going to allow you to do it. We didn't know what, oh man, what are we going to do? We had probably 30 or 40,000 books of Book of Hope left, and we didn't know what we were going to do with them, and so we kept, well, we'll just keep trying. Well, one of the pastors, and we want to turn this over to a national, we want them to be able to do it. One of our pastors, a great man of God, he's got a great church, he came out of that meeting just all charged up. And we said, well, did we miss something in the interpretation? That, you know, he said that we can't do this. Yeah, the door's shut, he said, but God has spoke to my heart, he's going to do it. And, you know, our faith, we thought, was smaller than a mustard seed at that point. It's kind of, oh, man, this guy's, but okay. And about 2 weeks later, it worked out, make a long story short, it worked out that we put the Teen Challenge testimonies. And there's a whole other testimony about that. God gave us favor with the government of Lithuania. They came in and inspected our Teen Challenge centers and said, anybody that does rehabilitation work like Teen Challenge, it comes in, any church, any group from outside of Lithuania, it has to look like Teen Challenge. And they gave us a check for $20,000, the government. That's about what it cost to run our Teen Challenge at that time, $20,000 a year. And so it took care of us for that year. And God blessed that. It's just wonderful. And so we know that the government, and so somebody gave us the idea to put Teen Challenge testimonies in the front of the Book of Hope and have a whole presentation of drug and alcohol prevention material, bringing out the Word of God to tell us how to do that. And so now the government has put their stamp of approval. We don't have to go through the Catholic Church. And so there was a door shut, but God opened a garage door. And we now, because of Light for the Lost, I don't see Light for the Lost things up here, but Light for the Lost gave us money to print, and we printed with those Teen Challenge testimonies in it, 100,000 copies that we got last February. And so we're working at getting those out. So when I go back, that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be working with the Teen Challenge. We've got an academic dean that's going to come, hallelujah. And we've got a president of the college, and I'm going to teach at the college. I'm scheduled in March and in May to teach this year. We hope to go back January 20th. We'll go to the next slide there. And this is our goals. We hope to return sometime this year. It won't happen in 2004. We want to, but we've been given that extension. I told you why. The cash, we've been able to raise that. We've been able to raise what we need for cash-wise. We're going to take an offering today to help us, and we're going to hopefully we can turn that into monthly pledge. We need monthly pledges. That's where we're short at. We need only $400 in monthly pledge. And somebody said, well, I can't do $400. And I thought, today on the way over here, I kept thinking, my flesh was thinking, you know, try to raise money the day after Christmas. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to try to raise money. And the Lord said, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of it. I said, okay. But, you know, I want to just be here and share with you and build a relationship with you. And my wife and I, we've known James for a long time and Brother Shackleton. And I don't even remember how we met. But anyway, I just want to build a relationship with the rest of you and share with you. And, you know, I know you've probably spent more than you should have. I know my wife, I mean, we have. And, but $400 in monthly pledge, you don't have to start till February. But if 20 churches would do $20 a month, 10 churches would do $30 a month, look how far it goes. And it adds up. And so I just want to ask you today, help us with the monthly pledge. Pray about that. I don't know how you do it because I hadn't talked with Pastor. And so if I'm out of order asking for that, I apologize. I'm not trying to pick your pockets. I'm just going to share the need. That is our need. And then the last thing is a prayer team. We have a few prayer cards left. We weren't scheduled to be here, so we just have a few left. We do have our Christmas cards, so take one of those. We have a lot more of those. So take a Christmas card and remember to pray for us. The reason we were there by ourselves some of the time was the other missionary that we worked with, he had several health problems. They took him by airplane. He had an emergency fly up to Helsinki, Finland, and had his gallbladder taken out. Then his wife called me about a year later. We were in ministry together, and he'd had something happen. He collapsed in the shower, and then he collapsed outside the shower, and his ears were gray. He was close to death. And what happened was his heart wasn't beating right, and it made a blood clot, and it went to his brain, and he had a stroke. And it was, you know, kind of a bittersweet thing. She's praying over him, and he's laying there, and she's praying and crying, and he comes to, and he looks at her and says, "What's the matter with you?" She was glad that he was alive, but what's the matter? Well, what are you doing down here? You know, and so that's what's going on. We need people to pray for us because the enemy will attack in any way he can. And he will attack to keep us from doing this work. I believe from our testimonies that God has done great things in Lithuania. Would you agree with that? And we want to go back and continue with those ministries. And so we need your help in this offering and the monthly pledges and in a prayer team. And so please remember to do that. And I'd ask Pastor Greg if you want to come. And Craig, I'm sorry. And we'll take the offering. We want to show you some slides from Lithuania. Our son is in a Christian band. That's why he's there. And he is there. And their band was voted the number one band in Lithuania in 2003. I'm sorry. This year they had the same competition. He went back for that competition and their concert tour, which takes him into other countries as well. But anyway, Josh was voted the number one musician in the whole. There are 21 bands in this competition, and he was the number one. He plays the drums. He got his talent from me. That's why I can't do anything, because I don't have any left. But anyway, praise God.
God, we just ask right now as we give to Wendell and Peggy and the mission field over in Lithuania, God, that you would just multiply that you would meet every need that they have and every need that might arise this next term that they are over there. God, multiply it and bless each gift and each giver in Jesus' name. Amen.
Anyway, Josh's band, it just come to Jesus. The CD that we had that they made is in half English and half Lithuanian, because some of the countries they go to don't speak Lithuanian. Lithuanian language is only for Lithuania. They don't speak it anywhere else. And so it's come to Jesus. This year they did a concert tour. They did a concert for National Youth Day in Lithuania. They were asked to be there, and there were 5,000 young people there. And they heard that song, Come to Jesus. And a lot of young people know English, and so they have a good testimony. They're very, very well known. And so I thank God for the door that he's opened. The equipment that they use is Speed the Light equipment. It was sitting in our living room, and they saw that. This is Stasia. She's the lady that came forward that started Women's Teen Challenge. That is some construction we did on the Women's Teen Challenge facility. This is where they live for the resident program, the one-year program for the women. We had men there as well until we bought... We're able to get that farm, and now we have guys there. This is the women's facilities. The top right picture, the top left is that, or the top right building is that, really that building on the left. It's just two different pictures of it. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How shall they call on one whom they've not heard? How can they believe in one they've not heard? I'm sorry, I got it backwards. And how shall they hear unless we go and preach? And so when we are sent. And that's how we... believe that we go. And we thank God for the teamwork that we have in the Assemblies of God, that the churches send us And we go, we come and back and give a report about what God has done. Other denominations and fellowships, groups, churches, sometimes they'll send one. This is Josh's band. Josh is the short one. Lithuanians are tall. Those two of those guys are the same age as Josh. But Josh is a little shorter than I am. So, and that picture there is Lake Superior. Ontonagon. And the theme for this year, 2005, is Rise, Let Us Go. So thank you for allowing us to go. We pray that you will, and I know that you have invested in our ministry and that offering. Thank you. If you were wanted to give today, you have to push stop. It'll keep going. Thank you. If you want to give and you couldn't give today, just talk to your pastor, and he'll know how to get it to us if that's the case. But thank you so much. I wanted to share one last story with you before we go, and then Pastor Craig said that he would like for you to pray for us, and so we want you to do that because prayer is so very, very vital. And there are hundreds of testimonies of what God has done in people's lives. And I can give you statistics, but the best part is people. There's a young man named Alexander. Alexander was on heroin for 5 years. He lived in a bad part of town. One of our students who had graduated before I got there, one of the students from the Bible college, had a brother that was down there with Alexander, and his brother died from an overdose. And Slavik is his name. Slavik, his brother died. Slavik, instead of turning that tragedy, making it worse and going against God or something, God, he began to cry out to God, God, what can I do that won't happen to other people? And God gave him a burden to go down there. And so he met Alexander. He led Alexander to the Lord. Alexander then went into our Teen Challenge program, got set free. And then he came to our Bible school. Alexander was a hard person. He was rough and tough. And little by little, we watched the smile come on him. Little by little, we watched his eyes light up, because the gospel was taking effect in his life because he gave his life to Christ. And there are many stories. But anyway, he came to our Bible school then. I watch him sing in chapel. I watch him worship the Lord. I watch him as I teach the class. He's just like a sponge, just drinking it in, because he was not raised in a Christian home. Most people weren't raised in a Christian home under communism. They didn't have Sunday school for 50 years. Some of you needed to be in Sunday school this morning. Well, anyway. But Alexander graduated now, just last May, and he's back in Teen Challenge Ministry, working. He's got a new heart. That's what I wanted to share today about that God has given us. We're looking at a new year coming. Where is your heart? Romans 12 says, be renewed in your mind. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Where's your mind? I've seen so many people changed by the gospel. They've renewed their mind. They don't think like they used to. And now they have a new song. In Revelation, the Bible says they'll sing a new song. When we get to heaven, we're talking about it in Sunday school. One of the things that I think has fallen away, we talked about the falling away that'll happen. One of the things that's fallen away is not enough people talking about the second coming of Christ. The Lord is coming back. Are you ready? Are you helping others get ready? And I thank God for what He's doing. He's opened the door to the former Soviet Union, and now we have hundreds, literally hundreds of churches where there were no churches across the former Soviet Union, Lithuania's. Got what God is doing. And so we thank God for people like Alexander. Got saved, gave his life to Christ, studied for the ministry, he's now back in ministry, and God's using him. It's because of people like you sending us so that we can go, but it's the Holy Spirit that does all the work. We're just his tools, his vessels. So I'd like for us to stand, and Pastor Craig's going to come. Patty, you want to come? We just again ask that you would pray for us. And I went till 12:30, and so I thank you for being patient.